Welcome to Test All Things. Test All Things is an outreach of Tower to Truth Ministries, and I'm your host, Fran Sankey. You can find us on the web at towertotruth.net. Test All Things is a Bible discernment, evangelistic program dedicated to creating an awareness of and biblical answers to false religious teachings opposing Christianity today. Well, today we're going to talk about literally a life or death issue. It's been said that every cult has their killer doctrine and that Jehovah's Witnesses are no exception. For them, it's blood transfusions. We're going to talk about why don't Jehovah's Witnesses receive blood transfusions, what Bible verses prove that blood transfusions are wrong, and what does the medical community have to say about all this? To answer these questions and more, I have Ruth Baker with me. Ruth is a former Jehovah's Witness who has personal experience regarding this issue. She's a member of the Associated Jehovah's Witnesses for Reform on Blood. They are a diverse group of Jehovah's Witnesses from many countries who have volunteered their time and energies in an effort to bring about an end to a tragic and misguided policy that has claimed thousands of lives, many of them children. Welcome to the show, Ruth.
Well, thank you, Fran. I'm glad to be here.
Good. I'm glad you're on. Ruth, very briefly, why are you involved in this movement, the Associated Jehovah's Witnesses for Reform on Blood?
Well, I lost a son. He was 15 years old. His name was Dak McGill. And he died in 2001 after an automobile accident, and he desperately needed a blood transfusion, and he didn't get it right away, and it weakened his heart, and he died. And that's what caused me to look into Associated Jehovah's Witnesses for Reform on Blood.
Okay, I'm very sorry to hear that. The website, which is, by the way, ajwrb.org, again, it stands for the Associated Jehovah's Witnesses for Reform on Blood. There's a quote on there that says, "This policy has claimed thousands of lives. Is this Watchtower teaching really that far impacting, or do you think this might be a little bit of an exaggeration?"
No, it's not. The reason being is because for the last 48 years, Jehovah's Witnesses have been losing their lives for this policy. It was basically in 1961 that they made it a disfellowshipping offense to accept blood for any witness or for a family member, even though it was a life-threatening situation. And as Jehovah's Witnesses have increased, which is nearly 10 million of them now, just a lot of people are dying because of it.
Right, I bet they are. Just to maybe set our definitions before we move on, what is a blood transfusion? How would you define it?
Well, a blood transfusion would be whole blood taken from a living person matched according to blood types, and the blood is given to people who have lost large amounts of blood. And without blood, there is inadequate fluids and red blood cells and white blood cells to carry oxygen and nutrients through the body in order to keep it alive. Low blood volume often kills people, and this is what blood transfusions are for.
Now, from researching the Watchtower like I have, I'm wondering, the Watchtower used to say no blood in big letters, period. Is this still the case with them?
No, not exactly. From about 1975, they began to adjust their policy. The reason being is because there was a lot of hemophiliac children who were dying because of the blood policy, because the treatment for hemophiliacs uses fractions of blood. And at that time, it was forbidden, and then the Watchtower Society changed it to make that treatment available to them. So that was about 1975 that began to change.
Okay, if you just joined us, I am interviewing Ruth Baker. Ruth is a former Jehovah's Witness. She is a member of the Associated Jehovah's Witnesses for Reform on Blood. Their website is AJWRB, again, AJWRB.org. If you want to email Ruth, you can email her at Mary@AJWRB.org. yahoo.com. Now, Ruth, I understand that this ban on blood transfusions was not even a Watchtower teaching from the beginning. Is this true?
That's true. Basically, this policy came about around World War II when blood transfusions really came into use. The Watchtower Society always had a very distrusting relationship with the medical community. And when blood transfusions came about, they began to be uneasy about it. And this is how the ban on blood transfusions really began. But they really didn't make it a disfellowshipping issue until 1961. Up until then, they just really strongly discouraged it. But then it became, you know, you're really breaking God's laws by having a blood transfusion.
Okay, so if you have a blood transfusion as a Jehovah's Witness, basically you're kicked out.
Yes, they disfellowship, or some people call it shunning. That means that the people in the congregation or organization cannot speak to you except for elders. And basically, if you go to a kingdom hall, you will not be spoken to. Sometimes people carry it so far as they don't even make eye contact with you.
Yes, I've heard a lot of testimony about that. Now, I would think of a policy, a Watchtower policy that's this life-threatening. They must have tons and tons of scriptural references to prove this, without a doubt. So my question is, what scriptures do they use to try to convince people that blood transfusions are against God's law?
Okay, they use the scripture at Acts 15, verse 28 and 29. And this scripture says, now this is from the King James, I believe, "For it seems good to the Holy Spirit and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these things, that ye abstain from meat offered to idols, from blood, from things strangled, and from fornication. And from these things keep yourself, ye do well." And then Genesis 9:4, it just says, "The flesh of the life, therefore, is in the blood." And basically, that's the only two scriptures they use.
Hmm. Now,
sounds pretty vague, don't it?
It sounds pretty vague, and I'm just wondering, in your opinion, are these scriptures actually forbidding taking blood into your body through a medical transfusion, or do you think they really mean something else?
Well, I believe they mean something else, because when I got into doing a real deep research on it, it clearly, the scriptures back then, they didn't have blood transfusions. They didn't have things like that to try to save a person's life. And what they're talking about is not eating blood as putting it into your mouth and letting it digest, and then you would live off of it. A blood transfusion will not keep a person alive that is starving to death, because it doesn't go to the digestive system. So, obviously, these scriptures are not referring to blood transfusions. And the other thing is blood transfusions come from living persons. They're not coming from a person who's dead. It's coming from a living being. And so that's a whole different thing, too. We're not taking a life to have a blood transfusion.
In my understanding of those scriptures, it's really dietary in nature.
Right. They're dietary. It's basically, you don't eat blood. And when these scriptures were given to the apostles and disciples, it was with the idea that they would not eat blood, which was a dietary law that was continued on.
Right. If you just join me, I'm interviewing Ruth Baker. She is from the Associated Jehovah's Witnesses for Reform on Blood. Their website is ajwrb.org. Ruth, does the Watchtower make it clear to its followers which fractions of blood are okay and which are not okay?
Well, I think they make an effort to, but no, it's not clear. In fact, the understanding of it is so convoluted that most witnesses simply refuse all blood fractions because they don't understand it. There's been many that have gone to the elders and had them to explain it to them, only to walk away scratching their head saying, "I still don't get it." So basically, when they changed the policy and made fractions possible to use, the witnesses still, they just don't get it. Because it's, you know, it's still blood. And even though they're taking it apart and using it, it still makes no sense because it still comes from blood.
All right, blood is blood.
Blood is blood. And at one time, there was even certain vitamins they told us not to take because it came from blood. Had to do with some sort of liver vitamins. And I remember, that would be a fraction.
Weren't there actually other medical procedures that were once forbidden for the Jehovah's Witnesses but that are now allowed?
Yes. In fact, vaccinations were once strongly discouraged. They never disfellowshipped you for it, but they discouraged everybody from getting their children's vaccinations from these death-dealing diseases. And then there was also organ transplants were considered cannibalism. You know, 1980 or around about there, they decided that it was okay, and so they allowed it, which saved a lot of people's lives. So there's been a consistency about them changing their minds back and forth, but it's also very confusing to the followers because they don't know from time to time what's approved and what isn't. It's like they're approving now this new blood that's being used. They call it artificial blood, but some of it's using blood from humans, red blood cells, or red blood cells from cow's blood. Well, now the society has allowed some of that, which makes no sense, and yet they still continue to say that human blood from live people is not okay.
Just get us into a Jehovah's Witness mind. How intense is the indoctrination against receiving a blood transfusion?
Well, it's pretty high up there. I mean, you're reminded at meetings repeatedly about how dishonoring it would be to God to accept a blood transfusion. We were encouraged to carry blood cards in our wallets, saying that we refused blood. Our children were encouraged to carry them. Now, you know, it's changed just a little bit, but still that's a big emphasis at the meetings. They consider a blood transfusion to be a God-dishonoring practice. And any person who takes it, I mean, it's like it's worse than committing fornication or adultery, which is just really silly.
Yeah, that's a shame. So it's very intense to just fear tactics, I imagine, that they would put in you.
A lot of fear.
Yeah.
And I think probably the higher-ups, they probably think that it's a good thing because it keeps the Jehovah's Witnesses apart and separate and makes them feel special by doing this. The thing is most people haven't had to deal with actually letting a loved one die.
That makes all the difference, doesn't it? And that's what we're going to talk about next week. Ruth, welcome back to the show again.
I'm glad to be back.
Ruth, just for the privilege of those who did not hear last week's talk, why are you involved in this movement, the Associated Jehovah's Witnesses for Reform on Blood?
Well, in 2001, I lost my son, Dak McGill, to death. He was in an automobile accident, and he needed blood transfusion. He needed it immediately, and he refused, and we refused, and Dak died.
Okay, very sorry about that again. Tell us more about that. Get into that. What happened to your son, Dak, that day that sent him to the hospital?
Well, he was riding home from the Kingdom Hall. He was riding with another boy home, and the boy decided to stomp on the gas and, you know, race the engine, hit some gravel. The car started flipping. Both the boys were buckled in, but Dak was more badly injured. He was in the passenger seat. He was taken to the hospital. He was still conscious. When the paramedics came to pick him up, he told them no blood, just as we had taught him. And they took him to the hospital. Of course, the thing they discovered right away was that he needed blood because he was hemorrhaging blood. And we were warned that Dak would not live if we continued to refuse blood for him. At that point, I think I just sort of froze up and quit saying anything. And my other two sons, they were begging us to give Dak blood. But their dad, with tears in his eyes, he still refused. And Dak was taken to another hospital, and the pilot that was picking him up, she basically accused us of murder. She said, if you let this happen, she says, you are guilty of murder, letting your son die. And it was a pretty awful experience. The hospital staff was just shocked, and is just still just like a nightmare to me.
I imagine hearing that you're murdering your son is a horrible thing to hear when your son is going through this and you think that you're obeying Jehovah's law.
That was the most horrible thing, and yet we had been prepared for that at the Kingdom Hall. I mean, they literally went over these kinds of situations. So we were well indoctrinated, but the actual experience of it and knowing that we were letting Dak die was just unreal.
Now, the day before your son's accident, how convinced were you that blood transfusions were wrong?
I was absolutely convinced. I mean, I had no doubt.
When did that doubt come in?
I think the real doubt happened is when they said that Dak was going to die without the blood. And suddenly it dawned on me. I thought, well, why would Jehovah want Dak to die? I mean, this is a medical procedure. This, all of a sudden, the whole thing made no sense to me. But up until that moment, you know, I just accepted it. But to realize that, you know, basically what we were saying, well, you know, God demands that Dak die because he needed blood. And that was a medical procedure. He wasn't going to be eating it. So I think at that moment is when I suddenly realized that it was wrong. Of course, it was too late.
Right. If you're listening to us now, I am interviewing Ruth Baker, a former Jehovah's Witness of, I believe, 30 years, and if you'd like to do a search for her organization on the web, it's www.ajwrb.org. That is the Associated Jehovah's Witnesses for Reform on Blood. This brings up a great question. Are parents by law able to decline serious medical treatment for their children?
Well, parents have that authority to say yes or no to medical treatment. The thing is, if they're misinformed like we were, should they really have that right? Now, some states will, go over our heads and say, you know, well, we've got to follow what's going to be good for the kid. Now, when Dak was taken to the other hospital, they did give him blood. But the thing was, it was too late. And there was no way he could survive. His heart had been too weakened. So the first hospital didn't realize that within the boundaries of the law, they could have given him blood without our permission. Now, a lot of your states are doing that where they'll go over the parent's head and just do what needs to be done. And I think that's a good policy.
Just curious, before this all occurred, did any Christians ever try to change your mind about this ban on blood transfusions?
No, I wish they would have. I really was never challenged on the blood policy, ever. In the 30 years I was a Jehovah's Witnesses, no one challenged me on it. I wish they would have, because it would have made me stop and think, or at least have to defend my position and think about it. But see, I never had to do that.
That's why we Christians have to get out there and talk to these people to try to save something like this from happening.
I think that they need to be challenged. I mean, anytime you come in contact with the Jehovah's Witnesses, they need to think about what it would be like if they actually had to turn down blood for a loved one, a child. What would it feel like? Because it makes no sense that our God would want our children to die for a medical procedure.
Now, what would happen to a Jehovah's Witness? We kind of talked about this on the last show. In terms of his religious standing with the Jehovah's Witnesses, if he succumbed to the heat of the moment, he got in a car accident or had to go in for an emergency operation, and he just said, okay, give me blood to save my life, what would happen to him?
Well, unless he could conceal it and hide it, and any of the elders found out, he would be taken in before a judicial committee. They would want to know why he did it. And, you know, depending on how he feels about it, you know, he might could lie about it and say, well, you know, it was in the heat of the moment. And he might could be forgiven for it and not be disfellowshipped. He could be publicly reproved, which means that you're not cut off from the congregation. But, you know, it's a risky thing to do. And some witnesses have actually just barred any witnesses from coming into the hospital at all when they have surgery. They don't let the elders know so that they do have that option to change their mind if they want to. And I've seen it happen, but I didn't know why they were doing it at the time. But if they face, you know, if they just said, well, I was going to take blood because it's the right thing to do, then they would be disfellowshipped.
I see. You told me how you were treated by the doctors and the nurses at the hospital. Were you treated different at the Kingdom Hall after standing firm and forbidding Dak to receive blood? Was there a contrast?
It was a very big contrast. I mean, we were like heroes at the Kingdom Hall. Dak was a hero. I mean, they probably still view him as a hero of all time. Here's this young boy, 15 years old, refusing blood when they told him that he needed it. And then my now ex-husband, he refused blood for Dak, and he did it bravely, you know. I mean, it was just a lot of a patting on the back. And here our son had just died, and this kind of excitement and patting on the back was just hard to deal with. Because so it was just horrible to me.
You had a badge of honor on you.
Yeah, and it really did not deserve it, and it really made me uncomfortable with all the witnesses after that. In fact, I stopped going to meetings after that happened because it was just unbearable. The fact that they thought that was good, that Dak had died refusing blood.
And they never had to go through that like you did, so you saw it from the other angle.
Felt like. They just thought it was awesome.
It's incredible. By the way, I'm speaking with Ruth Baker. Ruth is a member of the Associated Jehovah's Witnesses for Reform on Blood. They are at ajwrb.org. Ruth, by the way, is a former Jehovah's Witness. Ruth, looking back, how did you feel once you understood that Jehovah doesn't really forbid blood transfusions and he really wanted your son to live?
I was angry. I was angry at myself for being fooled and deceived. I was angry with Jehovah's Witness leadership that they would put this restriction on us and have Dak die for nothing. And I was angry at God. I was angry at God for not warning me. Of course, the thing was, it still came back to me. The information was out there. I simply chose not to go and do research myself. So, you know, God allowed that information to be out there and around me, I just refused to look at it because of the fears that the Jehovah's Witnesses put inside my head at the meetings. So it was very upsetting to me to know that I had been so fooled. And the thing is I believed it 100%, but it didn't make it true.
That's really correct. What would you say to a Jehovah's Witness, and hopefully one will listen to this program, what words would you have regarding this ban on blood transfusions from the Watchtower?
Please do your research. Talk to the medical community. Think about it. Read it. Go back to your Bible and read it. Do your research on what those restrictions meant back in the day and time that the restrictions were given in Acts. Don't blindly follow because you could lose your child. You could lose your spouse. Somebody you love is going to die, and there's no sense in it. There's no sense at all because God does not require it. There's nothing wrong with blood transfusions.
Amen. If you're interested in a copy of this two-part interview on Jehovah's Witnesses and blood transfusions, you can email me at help at towertotruth.net. You can call me on the phone, 610-513-5525. For more info on cults and other aberrant groups, my website again is towertotruth.net. And don't forget to tune in next week for another apologetic issue facing Christianity today. And remember, don't just believe everything you hear, but test all things.